Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
Today is Father's Day, so I thought we'd talk about the Father Heart of God. Now, on Mother's Day, we specifically deal with moms who are right here present. But I thought for Father's Day, we would talk about the greatest father of all, right? When we go to pray to Him, what do we say first?
Our Father.
Our Father who art in heaven. And God wants us to know that He is the ultimate Father. And who are the children? Obviously, us. Well, thank you, Paul. Us. Right, yeah, that's right. And He's looking down on us. We're His children. He's excited about taking care of us. He's excited about the journey that He's taking us on. And so I thought we would look at like five different ways in which we interact with God and what God wants His children to know about His fatherhood. And first of all, you were created by God for a very, very specific purpose. Now, I could easily say to you that you were bought with a price, your life is not your own, you belong to God, yes, but is everybody breathing in here? You're all breathing?
Yes.
You all have life? Do you know why you have life? Do you know why you're breathing? Because God gave you life and God put breath in you. And when He created you and put you on this planet, think about this, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the eternal God, the one who created the universe, the sun, the moon, and the stars, put you on earth with a specific purpose. And He said, I want this person to exist. And I'm going to call this person and I'm going to give this person a task to do while they are on planet Earth. My wife and I, how many people watch America's Got Talent? All right, good. All right. I'm not the only one. My wife and I watch America's Got Talent and they're always talking about, what's your dream, what's your dream. So my wife, for the first time she's ever done this, she looked over to me and she says, what's your dream? And I said, I don't have a dream. And she goes, oh. And I said, if you mean a human dream, I want to live out the dream that God has for me. That's all I want to do. God has a dream for you. God has a plan for you. And all I want to do is hear God say to me at the end, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's all I want. But notice this text says this. The Lord has made everything for its purpose. That would include you. Even the wicked for the day of trouble. God has made wicked people for the day of trouble. What does this mean? God has created everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly. There's a God. There's a devil. There are angels. There are demons. There are good people upon the earth. And there are wicked people upon the earth. Do you know we need the wicked according to this? See, who else is going to try your faith? Who else is going to shoot a fiery dart at you? Did Jesus need Judas? Yeah. And you need your enemies. You need your antagonist. You need those who speak ill of you because that is how your faith is tested. And that is how, according to Peter, you receive ultimate joy. Consider it all joy when you fall into various trials. So we have a purpose, but so does all of the people that are against us. Secondly, you exist in Christ for Christ. And here's what the Bible says. What was that? Who said that? I'm sorry, somebody's talking.
I didn't
say anything. What did you say?
About the wicked have a purpose, they're the ones that kicked us out of our church.
and I'm glad you brought that up. So does that mean that God has a purpose for us in going?
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember Joseph's brothers? They pushed him in the ditch. They wanted to get. What did they actually end up doing? Bringing about God's dream and God's plan for Joseph. You actually added to that. That was wonderful. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom all things exist. This is all about God. One Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and whom are all things and through whom we exist. Everything in the end is about God. Nothing exists apart from God. We are now a part of God. We are the church. We are the ecclesia. We are the called out ones. We're His body on the earth. And God has said He wants us specifically as a church, to wander a little bit. Why are we wandering? Do we really need a building?
No.
To be the church? No.
No.
A building is not essential. As a matter of fact, the early church met in people's homes, and if somebody in here would volunteer to have 50 people come to your house every week, we could probably do that. But I know you did that, but you weren't thinking it all the way through.
It's a building for our comfort.
It's a building for our comfort. But I'm excited because God says, okay, I'm going to take you on a little bit more of a journey. We've been on a journey for a while, but I want to take you on a little bit more of a journey. And I don't know about you, but I'm always excited because I know how the journeys end. They always end well. You exist to bring glory to God. And somebody might say, well, how do I bring glory to God? It says, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things, and to Him be the glory. It's not about us. Ultimately, it's about us bringing glory to God upon the earth. And you might say, how do I bring glory to God? Here it is. When you do God's will by God's power, and it's God's will and God's power, it brings about God's glory. Let me ask you this. If you did God's will in your power, who should get credit? You. You did God's will by your power and your strength. If you do God's will by God's power, who gets all the glory? God. So the only way to bring glory to God is by doing what God wants by God's power. Why did the disciples have to wait in the upper room for the Holy Spirit to fall upon them? Remember, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every living creature. Then He says, but before you go into all the world, wait. What were they waiting for?
Power.
Power to do what God called them to do. When I was, I got saved when I was 13, but when I was 19, I got called into the ministry and knew exactly what God wanted me to do. I loved radio, so I was going to work in radio. I was working at a secular radio station, so I asked them, can I do Christian music on a Sunday morning? They said yes. Kind of a crazy thing. So I was doing Christian music on a Sunday morning. And I said, this is it. I love the Lord. I'm 19 years old. I'm serving Him. And then my dad says to me, he says, son, have you ever experienced the power of the Holy Spirit? And I said, I think so. He says, have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit? And I said, I don't know. He says, I want you to come and I want you to go to, and it was a Catholic charismatic meeting, and they were talking about prophesying, and they were talking about speaking in tongues, and they were all old people, and they were all sitting around prophesying, speaking in tongues. And as a 19-year-old, I said, this is not only weird, but I want nothing to do with any of this. This is not what kids are looking for. But they start quoting Bible scriptures to me about Pentecost and about the gifts of the Spirit and about, and I was like, all right, I surrender. God, if you want me to have all these gifts, whatever they are, prophecies, speaking in tongues, well, you want me to have them, I'm 19 years old, then okay, I surrender. Just do what you want to do with me. And I went forward for prayer, and when I did, the priest laid hands on me and I fell on the floor and I was totally drunk and intoxicated. And I just remember feeling the power of God totally filling me. And when I got up, I was a different person in so many ways. And I remember thinking, God, I'm so glad when You called me, You did not allow me to do the calling in my own strength. That You equipped me. And by the way, if you haven't had your personal Pentecost, you haven't had your personal time in which the Holy Spirit fell upon you like tongues of fire, I'm just going to encourage you to ask God, is there any more? Can you be filled any more? You got born again, but there is a filling. So we bring glory to God when we do God's will in God's power, not in our power. That's important. Number four, you exist as part of a whole. How many people know that you're not by yourself in this? We're all in it together. We are the body of Christ. The Bible says that He holds all things together and He is the head of the body. That is the church. We are receiving orders from the head, and we as the church are simply called to carry out all those orders. God has established the heavens and the earth, the things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, whether rulers or authority. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He created what? Thrones and dominions and things invisible and things visible. Did God create the governments of the world? Yes. Did God create the angels? Here's a trick question for you. Does River Mountain Church have an angel? Oh, very good. Very good. Remember the book of Revelation? The letters were written to, not to churches, but to the angels of the church. Interesting. I think any church that has been called into existence by God has its own angel. Let's welcome the angel here this morning. Wherever you are, I don't know where you are. All right. That looked a little strange. Okay. But the angels appreciate it because they never get acknowledged. And by the way, the Bible says you have your own personal angels. So there's as many angels here this morning as there are people. And why are they here? Remember Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? What did the angels do? Remember what they did? They ministered to him. Have you ever felt ministered to by an angel? When do they usually minister to you? When you're like totally bummed out and totally weak. This week I was like, oh God, I can't take anymore. I just can't take anymore. And I don't know what I felt, but I just felt like something lifting me up. I was like, all right. I don't know where this is coming from. Well, I do. The angels strengthen Jesus, and they will strengthen you. God has made all these things. Final point is this. You exist to live a life that is above and beyond yourself. If you're living just a life that is just a normal, everyday American life, you're missing it. What do I mean that you're called to live a life over and above yourself? Do you know what that is? There's a word for that. You ready for this? Maybe you've heard the word before. Supernatural. Most people live a natural life, but you know you're called to live a supernatural life? What do I mean by that? Listen to the Apostle Paul. He wants us to know the love of Christ that surpasses all of our knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ask or think, according to the power, what? At work within us. God wants to do over and above more than we could ask or think. He wants to do things that are greater than we could possibly even imagine. Above and beyond all we could ask or think. Do you want that? Do you believe in dreams and visions?
Yes.
That's one of the ways God takes us to higher levels. Because most of us live in a mundane kind of human. All right, I'm going to tell you, I felt led to do that. In closing, I'm going to tell you two dreams I had, two visions I had. They came from the Lord. By the way, anytime you hear somebody talk about a dream or vision, always weigh it out. It's not the Bible. It's just a dream or vision. But how many people know for certain that God gives dreams and visions? In the book of Acts, here's what it says. Your young men shall have vision, and your old men shall do what? Are we in the last days?
Yes.
Are you old?
Yes.
When I was young, I used to get visions. Now I get dreams. I'll tell you this one. I had two dreams real quick. But both of these dreams are about the last days. Me personally, but I also believe for the church. So I'll tell you the first dream. First dream I had was the earth was completely in chaos. How many people think the earth is going in chaos? I mean, it was chaotic. But the earth was opening up and trucks were falling in it and cars were falling in it and people were falling in it. And I was like, I got to get out of here. Where's the safe place? So in my dream, I see a little passage and I go into this passage and I'm underground. And I'm with a bunch of people that are sitting in the dark and it's perfect peace. And I'm like, this is good. They're all quiet. They're all sitting there as perfect peace. I'm like, I can get used to this. But I could tell they had no idea what was going on. They were in the dark. Next thing I know, I see some steps. I go down to another level, and now I'm in another level. And now it's light. It's not real bright, but it's light. And the people are joyous and happy, and they know what's going on, but they're safe and they're secure. And I'm like, this is a good place. And then I hear kind of the Lord instructing me to go down one more level, and I go down to another level. And all there is in this room is light. And when I get there, I was like, wow, this is it. And the Lord says, take some of the light here and go to the second level. And I went up and went to the second level, and I said, I have a little more light for you people. And half of the people laughed because they were excited to hear some light. The other laughed as if like they were like, no, you're crazy and we don't want to hear it. So I woke up and I was like, well, that was kind of weird. About a month later, I have another dream. And I think in this dream, it goes a little further into describing where we are and I think how the church should behave. I've told this dream before, but I'll tell it again. So in this dream, I'm talking to a young lady who I could tell is a prodigal. She's lost. She's sitting on a curb and I'm sitting next to her. And all of a sudden, I start saying to her, do you realize what's happening to America? I said, do you realize the liberties we're losing? Do you realize that there's socialism coming and socialism is going to take over and we're going to lose all of our liberties? Every liberty we have, we're going to be subject to socialism. And the more I talked about this political realm of socialism, I could tell she was getting more scared. And literally in my dream, I started foaming at the mouth. I'm so passionate about this. What's happening to America and losing our liberty? And she just gets in her car and she drives away. And I have this thought, like, well, maybe I should have been telling her the gospel, maybe. I don't know, maybe instead of telling her about politics. Listen. Next thing I know, I'm being chased by this monstrosity. It was almost like a transformer that had like metal legs. And I remember I wasn't able to run. And I see a building and I see somebody sitting in the building. And I could tell it was an angel. And the angel called me supernaturally. And I just remember not being able to run, but I just being lifted to this building. And again, it was a safe place. And when I got there, the angel said, put on your mask. And he said, all of us angels wear masks. And this is where everybody thinks I'm a false prophet. And he says, all of us angels believe Romans 13, that there is no government or there is no governing authority outside the one God has established. So we are all subject to God and to the government. Bunch of liberal angels. Okay. No, I did not say that. I put on my mask. Church, I put on my mask. But then the Lord said, or maybe it was the angel. There's another door and I went in the second room. Remember, three levels, I'm in another room. And this room, it was like this room. But everybody's so excited, so happy, and nobody was wearing a mask. So I immediately took off my mask. And in this room, I don't know how to describe it. It was sort of like NASA meets the wildest and crazy spiritual party you've ever been at. It was like a control center, but everybody was doing spiritual things and they were really happy about it. And I'm walking and all of a sudden I see a guy sitting here and it was my grandfather. Aww. And he looked amazing. His face was glowing. He was illuminating. And I look at him and I said, Granddad, it's so good to see you. And he looked at me, he's like he didn't even know who I was. And I said, you look great. This is what heaven's like. Still, blank stare. I say, that's not my grandfather. He looks like my grandfather. And then I realized, in this vision and dream, I'm almost getting dialogue, that this is my grandfather's angel. That I'm in a room full of angels, and that was my grandfather's angel. Now, you say, well, why did my grandfather angel look like him? Remember, in the book of Acts, when they think Peter's in jail, and Peter shows up, and it looks just like Peter, and they say, no, that's not Peter, it's his angel. Because Hebrew people believe that your angel looked like you. So when people say, oh, somebody came back from the dead, no, that didn't. It might have been an angel, but it wasn't that person because people don't come back. But angels take on the appearance. And so anyway, I realize I'm in a room full of angels, and I'm like, this is really cool, I want to stay here. And there was another door, and the Lord said, you go to that door and go in there. And again, I just remember it was light. So I woke up. About a month later, I realized it was the identical dream. And here's the point of the dream. Do you remember the Israelites, when they approached God? They went into the outer courts. Then they went into the holy place. That was like level 2 was the holy place. And then the level 3 was where? The Holy of Holies. Can you as a believer go into the Holy of Holies now? Yes, of course you can. Through Christ you can go into the Holy of Holies. And I felt this was God saying to His church, why aren't you with me in my Holy of Holies? Why are you at level 1 or level 2? Why haven't you gone all the way down to the most intimate place to meet with? Because it's in the most intimate place, the Holy of Holies, level 3 or the third heaven or whatever you want to call it, that we meet God. And it's in that place, listen, that God gives us our mission. Where God instructs us as a father to His child and says, child, this is your Father speaking. Here's why you're on the earth now, and here's what I want you to do. How many people want to do exactly what God wants? Well, get to level 3. Press into, when you get to God, that you approach Him in such a way that when you finally are in His presence, it's just Shekinah glory. It's just His presence. It's just sheer light. And some of you go, I don't have any idea how to do that. Well, it all starts with desire.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.